All right, so the topic of this chabura is the heter legarish, the first sugya really that comes up in our limud, and the last sugya in Maseches Gittin, which is, when is it mutter for a man to divorce his wife? It's not, as we're going to see, it's not obvious that it's mutter, and maybe it's only in certain scenarios. So we're going to try to figure out what the matir is, or the matirs are. And we'll see, there's an important three-way machlokes, I'm sure everyone saw, but when you go into more detail, there's actually many different shitos and many different matirs at the end of the day. So let's jump in. If we start with the psukim, Dvarim Kaftalid, Ki kach yisho v'alav, v'hayayim lo simtzachin be'enav, ki matza va'ervas davar, v'chasav la'sefer krisus v'nasam yada v'shilchmi besos. So there's two different things here, shtayim shem shalosh. So number one, im lo timtzachin be'enav, that she doesn't find favor in his eyes. He doesn't like her. Ki, because, maybe, matzava ervas davar. He finds ervas davar, and we have to figure out what ervas davar means. Is it really erva, or is it really any davar? And, of course, then that leads to gerushin. This is in the context of machzir grushaso. And in Pasuk Gimel, we see usnea ha'isha acharon. The other husband, the second husband, also hates her. So maybe the sinna is also relevant in some way or another, but the psukim themselves are not fully clear. Right? It talks about him not liking her because of an ervas davar. What's an ervas davar? What's the relationship between lo simtachein and ervas davar? So if you look in the mafarshim just quickly, some mafarshim, including the targumim, translate ervas davar as averas piskam, nothing about erva, averas piskam, some sort of matter that's some sort of failing, some sort of a problem. Averas piskam. So, and if you think about it, like the word erva can sometimes just mean something bad, right? Liros is ervas aris basem. And sometimes it means something about erva in particular, of course. So it's not exactly clear, but definitely some, you know, the unkelus on a pshat level says it just means any sort of failing, any sort of problem. And we'll see, Beis Hillel will take that idea up. The Hamek Davar, I think, channeling Chazal, says similarly, Kimatzava ervas davar, dvar erva mi bayile, right? As we're going to see, Chazal make that point. Why do you say ervas davar instead of dvar erva? Right? It's sort of a funny formulation. Ela ervas davar mashma'o lo erva mamish is in. So it's not literally an erva, ela dvar mechuarim. It's disgusting things that aren't so good. So that's one point already, that ervas davar doesn't necessarily mean erva. It might just mean davar, as we're going to see. And in terms of the meaning of the word ki, this connection between not lo simtzachin be'enav and matzav eras davar. So Rashi has an interesting approach. Ki matzav eras davar mitzvah alav legarsha shelo timtzachin be'enav. If she does the eras davar, then he has to divorce her in order that she not be motzachin be'enav. Almost sounds like im lo simtzachin be'enav is almost like a tzivui of sorts. He has to make sure she doesn't find favor in his eyes, or maybe despite the possibility of chayin, he has to divorce her anyways. That's how Rashi takes it. The key is almost an inverted key, right? She doesn't find favor in his eyes because of the ervas davar, meaning the ervas davar means he has to make sure that she won't find favor in his eyes. He has to divorce her immediately. Ibn Ezra points out halfway through in source 6, v'atam o matzava, right? Ki matzava means o matzava. It just means or, so either he doesn't like her anymore. Lo simtzachin be'enav, or matzav ervas davar. We're going to see that's Rabbi Akiva's position as well. So you might say it's not that they're connected. Rashi, they're connected as a chiyuv. If there's ervas davar, you have to make sure there's no metzias chayin. According to others, the Ksava Kabbalah in source 7 here, I think just says. He follows the Ibn Ezra. Some we'll see in the Gemara. It's the pashup shot is arei. Right, ki matzava in the targumim, ki matzava eras davar, because, meaning the lo simtzachin be'enav is sort of a red herring. Right, the ikar point is matzava eras davar, and we want it to sound nice, so the Torah says lo simtzachin be'enav. He probably won't like her if she's doing averos, but the main reason is the averos rather than the lo simtzachin. So there's really a few different ways of reading this. Right, it could be either chayin or lo simtzachin or the ervas davar. It could be ervas davar creates a chiyuv to not like her, or it could be that lo simtzachin be'enav is because it has to be because of the ervas davar, and then we have to wonder if on that last approach that because of the ervas davar, lo simtzachin be'enav it's really just a red herring lo simtzachin be'enav, or at some level, even if it's triggered by the ervas davar, maybe the lo sinsachem be'enav is still important in some way as well. Maybe at some level, that's the real matir of the gerushin themselves. So just from the psukim, we see there's a few different options, and already in the Sifrei and in the Mishnah, we find this three-way machlokes that builds on some of those ambiguities in the psukim, and as we'll see, leads to further ambiguities, further possible splits among the shittos. So let's read the Mishnah, which is just skips a couple lines in the Sifrei that are working out a couple details, but don't have the main shittos. The main shittos are in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim lo yigarish adam es ishto elam kein matzah badvar erva shenemar ki matzah ba'eras davar. Right, sounds pretty simple. The Torah says you divorce her if you find eras davar. So you can't divorce her unless you find dvar erva. So presumably something about erva. Presumably there's she's with another man and there's an isser and then you have to divorce her. Maybe that's what it means. No, she doesn't need to violate something in terms of znus. She could even have a much more minor failing, something like burning his food, right, which might literally mean just she burns his food or she oversalts his food. We'll see there are other interpretations as well, but pashup shot, she doesn't know how to cook well, maybe even not intentionally. She's just not a good cook, and that's why he wants to get divorced. Shenemar ki matzava ervas davar. Right, it's not about the erva; it's about the davar. Something unseemly, something wrong in the marriage that's cause for divorce. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu matza acheres na'a himena, even if she didn't do anything wrong, she didn't cook the food wrong. There was nothing about erva. Just matza acheres na'a himena. He finds another wife. He prefers that wife. I think we saw last year the whole discussion. Why not marry both? This is before Tekanas Rabbeinu Gershom. But fine, for whatever reason, it would be more complicated. So he wants to divorce this wife to marry the other wife. Shenemar v'hayilam simsachein be'enav. And so we see in terms of deriving from the Pasuk, Rabbi Akiva is tied to the Timsachein line, whereas both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are tied to Ervas Davar, but with different interpretations. Beis Shammai emphasizes Erva, Beis Hillel emphasizes the Davar. When evaluating these shittos, I think just to sort of lay out some of the range of what these shittos could entail, so on one extreme, with Beis Shammai, we'll start first things first. Beis Shammai, you might say that Beis Shammai essentially has no heter ligarish. There's only a chi of ligarish. Maybe if you take it to the logical extreme, we'll see there will be some other middle, more minor cases that will complicate this. But at least at first glance, you might say that there's never a heter ligarish. There's always either an isser, she's usser to her husband, and then you have to get divorced, or as long as she's mutter, there's no option of divorce, right? So not quite a Catholic marriage because znus allows for a heter, but essentially there's no optionality. There's no heter ligarish, there's only chol ligarish. Or Beis Shammai might be something more limited than that as long as there's any sort of erva violation, that itself is a cause. On the opposite extreme, we might understand Rabbi Akiva as really saying that there's no need for a heter ligarish, right? Afilu matzah acheres na'imena. It doesn't matter. Whatever, make up any example you want. The point is just something totally arbitrary, having nothing to do with his own wife. His own wife, she didn't do anything wrong. She's the person she was, and matzah acheres na'imena. And there's no cause necessary at all, and no reason necessary at all for divorce. Or you might say, no, maybe there's something inherent about this matzah acheres na'imena, the idea of finding chen. Maybe that's essential. We'll see other versions of that, but that's one question. And then the other question about Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva arguing on Beis Hillel, or is Rabbi Akiva really an extension of Beis Hillel in one way or another? Meaning, the way it's presented in the Mishnah, it sounds like these are separate shittos, and they derive from different words in the Pasuk, but maybe at the end of the day, they really both agree. They both agree that you need Davar, and Rabbi Akiva has a slightly different Davar, and maybe Beis Hillel agrees, maybe he doesn't agree, but you can pull Rabbi Akiva much closer to Shitas Beis Hillel to say that you need some cause, and really they're on the same page. And within Beis Hillel, when we say davar, there needs to be something. How extreme does that need to be? Can it just be anything arbitrary, a mistake she made once? Does it need to be something? Does it need to somehow undermine the marriage, lead to some ruining some aspect of the marriage? It doesn't sound like it, right? He doesn't tie it. Unlike Rabbi Akiva, Beis Hillel doesn't tie this to lo simsachein be'enav. It sounds like any davar counts. So maybe according to Beis Hillel, she needs to make some mistake, right? So we don't have no-fault divorce. We have divorce only when there's some failing by the wife. So that's another possibility. But we're going to see these shittos all get fleshed out in these different directions as we'll analyze. So let's first focus on the relationship between Shitas Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel. And we'll start from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a funny line that leads a lot of the Mefarshim there to try to sort this out. So really, the Rashba raises the question first. So let's look at part of the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah, sort of coming out of left field, v'hadavabi nidasa v'azaveh zovo, something about the nida being dava. So Zekeni Rishon Hayomrim tehei b'nidasa, she should remain in her nida state, and nida being something like distanced. Lo sikho v'lo sifkos ajatava b'mayim, she shouldn't use makeup, she shouldn't beautify herself until she goes to the mikvah. She should remain intentionally in a nida state, in a distanced state. And that's their shita. Amar len Rabbi Akiva, misham raya, imat amar kein, ufiatzma mevili de ki'irus, v'unosein esein av balagarsha. Rabbi Akiva says that's a problem, because if, even while she's in nida, if she's not attractive to her husband, he may divorce her for that reason. So the Yerushalmi connects that to our mission of Asya, the Zakenim kibes Shammai, with Rabbi Akiva kibes Hillel. So very oddly, the Zakenim say, Zakenim make a lot of sense. They say, right, he can't divorce her if she's not attractive. That's not a cause for divorce, so we're not really worried about that. Whereas Rabbi Akiva can say that, of course, he can divorce her if she's not attractive. That's Rabbi Akiva's shita in our Mishnah, except that's not what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says Rabbi Akiva goes not like his own shita. It says Rabbi Akiva goes like Beis Hillel. So what's going on here? At first glance, you look at that and you say, well, maybe Rabbi Akiva is just giving another example of shita's Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva's not his own shita. Every Beis Hillel agrees. Everyone agrees that, na amen counts. It's just another example of Beis Hillel. You might read the Gemara that way, although that's not how most Mefarshim read it. We'll see the Rashba about halfway through source 11. He's talking about the Yerushalmi in his commentary on the Bible. He says, "V'temahu lama hutzrak lomar Rabbi Akiva kibeis Hillel." El kadivrei atzmo hayalul omer. Just say Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Akiva. That's a lot more logical. And why are you complicating things? Why are we saying Rabbi Akiva holds like Beis Hillel? What's going on here? So that's the Rashba's question. He leaves it b'tzarech iyun, but the Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi all take a stab at answering this, and we see different nuances of their view of the relation between Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel. So the Pnei Moshe, Rabbi Akiva kebeis Hillel, klomar, the Darish Nami kebeis Hillel, o erva, o davar. He also has this interpretation, a loose interpretation of ervas davar, not just about znus, but erva or davar, v'hilkach sviri lebasis, not filu mishum nai, and he takes it a step further. So this sort of a lav davka reading in the Pnei Moshe, right? Rabbi Akiva agrees with Beis Hillel, and he takes it a step further, and actually the step further is the relevant point here. So the Yerushalmi could have said Rabbi Akiva would have been better, but it didn't, but nothing to be medayik here. If we jump to source 14, the Shiari Karban, so he quotes Ve'arash b'kasav tema kilasa Rabbi Akiva atzmo l'darsh noy mutter l'garsha v'lo Beis Hillel dafka mishum davar megarsha mishum kir v'noy lo ad kan, right? There's Beis Hillel requires davar, not just noy. V'nirli d'bavli in Perek v'ma'isha and Shabbos ma'is l'hach b'isa ela sheyesh shinui b'divrei Rabbi Akiva v'garsin and hasam atz Rabbi Akiva v'limed im kenata megana al baila nimtza baila megarsha nir d'bavli sover d'Rabbi Akiva l'fishi taso. So maybe the Bavli actually, the Bavli accepts the Rashba's question. The Bavli actually holds Rabbi Akiva as like Rabbi Akiva. They have a slightly different version of this memra or this shakavataria in Shabbos. The Megarsha Mishim Noi Lekach Nemra Avinim Tzabayla Megarsha. Abal Yerushalmi Lishitas Beis Hillel Heshiv. The Yerushalmi, for whatever reason, wanted to say it over within Beis Hillel. Maybe that's like the main machlokas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So they said it over, who knows, ba ligarsha, klomer bedaktik acharev, a yimtza ba davar. Now, but you need to switch it up a bit, meaning Rabbi Akiva, even according to Rabbi Akiva, this sheet of Rabbi Akiva fits with Beis Hillel, because what's going to happen? She's going to be lo timzachain be'enav, and then he's going to find some reason. He's going to like go back in his memory over all the food she cooked in the past week, and say, on Tuesday, you burn the food, now I have a davar. He'll find a davar. But it sounds like what we're saying is, and it's not exactly clear what's being suggested here, but it sounds like what we're saying is, the way the Yerushalmi is reading it, in this scenario, we're saying this within Beis Hillel, so lo simzachem be'enav wouldn't be enough. You'd need also to come up with some davar, but he's going to do that. He's going to have an incentive to make up some excuse to divorce her because lo simzachem be'enav. Now, it's not fully clear. Is he saying that even Rabbi Akiva would hold that? Or is he just saying, no, we're just trying to say within, we're trying to say pshat in the Yerushalmi within Beis Hillel, and so we want to come up with a scenario that works for Beis Hillel too. Not fully clear. If we look at the Mara Panim, also quotes the question of the Rashba, and he writes about three lines down, the Esher Lomar, the Sfirle Lahai Shas, according to the Yerushalmi, the Beis Hillel lo pligi ad Rabbi Akiva. They don't argue. Ella de imatza cheres nayim and lo yuchal garsha. Sharei he lo garma lo davar. She didn't do anything. There's no cause. You can't just divorce. You can't just divorce your wife because matzah cheres naimena avlim he go remes shetizgane ve'enav. Then havidum yakein dehikdicha tavshilo shematzah badavar. So this is sort of merging Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel shitos. Beis Hillel needs a davar, needs a cause. She needs to do something wrong. Rabbi Akiva says matzah cheres naimena. Does that mean any matzah cheres naimena? No. Rabbi Akiva actually doesn't hold that. Rabbi Akiva holds matzah cheres naimena if it's her fault, if she. You know, because she doesn't use makeup while she's Anida, because she holds like the sheet of the Zakenim, by making that decision, or if she does that, she's going to do something wrong. She's going to do a davar that leads to her husband not liking her, and that is cause for divorce. But at the end of the day, there's no separate sheet of Rabbi Akiva, and there's no sheet that davar that Tiskana al Baila is a sufficient reason unless she does something wrong. So she needs to be at fault in some way. And matzah cheres naimena is not sufficient. In the Alei Tamar, another parish in the Yerushalmi, he quotes some of the things we saw. But he himself writes about six lines down. Lefinius Daiti Nira, source number 16 for those keeping track. She Afri Bi Akiva Lemaisa Yapose Kedas Beis Hillel Moshkasa Bidmai Avagav Du Palig Al Rabbanan Avid Uvda Kavase. Truth is, he agrees with Beis Hillel. He was saying over a different pshat in the psukim. But at the end of the day, he actually doesn't accept his own shita, and it sounds like he doesn't give the hesber of the Mara Panim that she needs to do something wrong with regard to her looks to qualify for davar. He just says he doesn't hold like he holds like Beis Hillel. He just is giving it another suggestion. But he himself paskins like Beis Hillel, which is why the Yerushalmi says that they go like Beis Hillel. Related to that, I saw some Achron quoted as saying that the line in the Yerushalmi is. The Zakenim go like Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva goes like Beis Hillel. So this, on one Achron, he wanted to say Zakenim means Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So that throws this whole thing off. That wouldn't work with this, but I think Pashtus, we didn't read it that way, just means the Zakenim in that sugya. And now in the second half of the Alei Tamar, he gives an interesting hesber, and this will help us understand Rabbi Akiva more broadly. Why do we care about Noi? Why does Noi matter? If you think Noi is a real Shita, right? According to the Shitos, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't really say that. He sort of it actually agrees with Beis Hillel. This doesn't matter. But if you take Rabbi Akiva literally, Matzah Cheres Naimena, that's a cause for divorce. Why would we think that? So the Alei Tamar says, the second passage, Nir Levar al Pisha Amru Besota, Chein Isha al Baila. Perish Rashi, Chein Isha al Baila, Filu Hi Mechueres Nosis Chein Be'enav. A woman, whether she's attractive or not, her husband finds favor in the eyes of her husband. That's sort of almost definitional to marriage. V'im ena nosis chen be'enav, simen hu shehu lo baila ra'ila, v'hi lo isha haru'uya elav. If, for whatever reason, lo simtza chen be'enav, the wife is not attracted to her husband, that means that this marriage is essentially a dead marriage. This is not a proper marriage, and that's cause for divorce. So this is a different shot entirely in Rabbi Akiva, right? It's not, Rabbi Akiva is not that you don't need any cause. And Rabbi Akiva is not that if she does something wrong, even relating to Noi, that's enough. Here, the shita, right, it's not a davar. Here, it's a separate din of timtzachein be'enav be'etzem, right, that this idea of timtzachein be'enav is an indicator that this is a live marriage. And as soon as you lose that, the marriage essentially is dead, there's a matir, because you're not really giving up anything. This is not really a meaningful marriage. Obviously, halachically, it's valid, you need to dissolve it, but there's nothing wrong with dissolving it, you're not really losing anything. So that's, again, this is getting into the realm of machshava a little bit, but it would come out in the lundus, right? It actually would matter if it was timtzachein be'enav or not, right? If he wants to, theoretically, if the husband wanted to divorce this wife and marry a different one, not because it was motzachein be'enav, but because, whatever, for political reasons, he wanted to marry a different woman, right? That would not qualify, according to this Alei Tamar, right? That's not a good enough reason. Timtzachein be'enav is a din be'etzem. It's not just that there's no fault, and you can just do it for whatever reason you want. You need, this is an inherent factor. So much for that passage in the Yerushalmi and the Mefarshim. Let's move now to the Bavli. I cited it in source number 17, but if you have a Gemara, that's good too, obviously. We'll just run through the Gemara quickly, and we'll focus on a couple of pieces that are important for our sugya. So it starts with the Mishnah that we read a few minutes ago. And then we sort of work out the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Tanya, Amar Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Velo Kvar Nemar Davar, Amar Beis Shammai, Velo Kvar Nemar Ervas. Right, each one wants to focus on their key word, Ervas versus Davar. Amar Beis Hillel, Nemar Ervas, Lo Nemar Davar. You see, Omer, Mishum Erva Teitze, Mishum Davar, Lo Teitze. I might think that you only have to do the verse for Erva, not for Davar. The Kaf Nemar Davar. You need to say both because either one is a valid reason. Velo Nemar Davar, Lo Nemar Ervas. I might have thought that for Znus, not only does she have to be Tetzah Bibayla Rishon, but she can never marry anyone. Maybe that disqualifies her from marriage overall. So, L'kach Nemar Ervas. That's Beis Hillel Shita, Beis Shammai, Hai Davar Mai Avdile. What do Beis Shammai do with the word Davar? Nemar Kan Davar, Malhan Davar, Al Pishnaim Edim, Al Pishlosh Edim Yakum Davar, Malhan Mishnei Edim, Al Kamishnei Edim. We need two Edim to establish that this is really Erva, based on that Mishnah in Sota. Ubeis Hillel Miksiv Erva Bidavar. It's just two separate things, Erva and Davar. Beis Shammai Miksiv O Erva O Davar. Beis Hillel Miksiv Ervas Davar, Demash Mahachi, Mash Mahachi. Beis Hillel says you can also learn out that din of two Edim. But by the way, the fact that you need two Edim, that it, just understanding Beis Shammai Shita at first glance again, that sounds like there's a Chiyav Lagarish, right? We know if there's two Edim on Znus, that's a Chiyav Lagarish. There's no area of Rishus. Maybe if this is the only example of a heter lagarish, it's then there's a full overlap between the cases that are heter lagarish and the cases that are chov lagarish for Beis Shammai. Going weiter in the Gemara, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva Omer afilu matzah acheres b'may kamiflegi b'dereish lakish damreish lakish ki mishamish b'dal l'shonos idil me'elot daha. It's a machlokus in biblical grammar. Beis Shammai savri v'ayelam simtzachem be'enav ki matzah be'eras davar deha matzah be'eras davar. It's because, right? You don't like her because of the Ervas Davar. At the end of the day, the Ervas Davar is what really is Koveya. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Ki Matzah Ervas Davar, Inami Matzah Ervas Davar, either Ervas Davar, or Lo Simtachein Be'enav, either one is sufficient. We're going to see some of the Mefarshim discuss whether Rabbi Akiva accepts Beis Shammai's understanding of Ervas Davar or Beis Hillel's understanding of Ervas Davar, which we'll see will have some interesting nafkaminas. Weiter. Amar le'rav papa le'rava lo matzah lo erva lo davar mahu. What if you don't qualify? You have neither erva nor davar, neither of the two factors that Beis Hillel would require. And some poskim have noted that. But this line sounds like we pass like Beis Hillel, which would be our default assumption anyway. But right, lo erva lo davar, those being the two things, that's a Beis Hillel thing to say. So what if you have neither of them? Amar le'rav the galar rachmana gabe onis lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav ve'amav v'hachzer kai. We only have very limited cases where you always have to return to the marriage, and the get is not conclusive. Whereas here, my davad avad, the get's done. You shouldn't have done it. You violated something. We'll see exactly what level isser or whatnot you violated, but it's a done deal. Then the next couple of lines are about. And that comes up in Kuf Yud Tes as well, but we're going to skip that for now. Three different midos in the mashal, but jumping to the last category, a woman who's rochetzes in bnei adam, that might be a reason to divorce. So the Gemara says in bnei adam salka daitach el b'mako. No, if she's actually being rochetzes with bnei adam, that would definitely be a reason to divorce. El b'makom she bnei adam rochetzim. They're people in the general area, so it's not so tsanua. So, but still, zoom it's from the Torah Ligarsha, Shenemar, Ki Matzaba Ervas, Vishilcha Mibeso, Pelcha Vaisalish Acher, Hakasuv Kro Acher, Homer Sheinze Benzuga Lirishon, Zohutzi Rishon Mibeso, Zoh Hichnis Rishon Sok Beso. So, the Gemara's objection is, what do you mean there's different midos? If she's Rochetzes, Bimakum Shemei Adam Rochzim, that's cause for divorce. And what's the cause for the divorce? So interestingly, we quote two different things here. Number one, we say matzaba ervas davar, right? So you might say that this is like an extension of ervas davar. Ervas davar doesn't just mean znus, it also means pritzus. Maybe it's some extension of that. But then we seem to be more focused on this other idea, li'ish acher, that there's a contrast between the first husband and the second husband because this is not the sort of woman one should try to be married to. One should try to stay away from someone who engages in pritzus in this manner. However, whatever the source is, again, this might be a new matir of gerushin, right? Because thinking about Beis Shammai, until this point, we only knew that Ervas Davar was a matir, right? And presumably Ervas Davar meant real znus with two edim. Now we have this new thing that's not, there's no, pritzus is not, there's not, it's not, there's no chiv of of get no isra labaal in the standard sense of sota. This is something else. This is a chiyav legarish. It's a good reason. It's a good reason to divorce her because of her action. So it sounds like that's another matir of gerushin, even though it's not explicitly laid out in the Mishnah or in the earlier makaros. Again, you could see it as an extension of Erev Hastava, or you could see it just as a totally separate point, really like a Hilchos Deos issue. It seems like the Rambam goes in that direction. So we'll get to that. And now the last little paragraph of the Bavli, Ki Sanei Shalach, a pasuk from Malachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Saneisa Shalach, if you hate her, you should divorce her. And Rashi points out, this sounds like Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo Simtzachem Be'enav is reason to divorce. This is the same idea. Lo Simtzachem Be'enav is basically the same as Sina, and you can divorce her. Of course, it's possible to be mechalik between the two. You might say that Sina is its own mechayiv, right? There's a difference between Sina and Lo Simtzachem Be'enav. So we'll hold that thought. We'll get back to that. But that's one shot in this pasuk. And then we have a different shot, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Sanui HaMishaleach. Right, ki sanei shalach, the one who is mishalech, the one who divorces his wife, is hated. You should never divorce, or it's bad to divorce, something like that. So how do we understand this? It's a stira. So v'lo pligi habizug rishon habizug sheni. So or ziva grishon ziva sheni. Right, your first or second marriage will determine the difference. We'll get to the exact details of what counts as ziva grishon, but presumably, let's just say first marriage versus second marriage. So one's first marriage, there's additional reason to not want to get divorced. Amar Rabbi Elazar, call him a garish ishto rishona, afilu mizbeach morid alav demos. If you divorce your first wife, even the mizbeach cries. Shenemar v'zos shenis tashuk sus dimas mizbeach Hashem b'chiv anaka me'im od pnos al mincha l'kachas v'tom yedchem v'matam v'ak ki Hashem hei b'incha v'nish nu recha asher atu agadu v'vi yichavet v'nish nu b'risecha. Right, the mizbeach is very upset. Hashem is upset. Mizbeach here is sort of standing in for Hashem in the pasuk. If you look at how they line up, so Hashem and or the mizbeach kaviyachol for Hashem are upset about this divorce. It seems to be something that we don't want. So we're more makil. We are more makil by the second time of divorce than the first. We're going to see there's several shitos in the Rishonim of how to line this up. Because what about everything we said until now? We said a whole lot of things. We have three shitos, all complicated machlokes, and does that still apply to Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni with something on top of this? Have we now shifted it? That whole discussion is only Zivug Sheni, and we're more machmir by Zivug Rishon, or maybe that whole discussion is Zivug Rishon, and we're more machmir by Zivug Sheni. All three of those options exist in the Mefarshim, so that we're going to have to get into as well. Fine. Just looking quickly at Rashi on the beginning of our Sugya, right? Beis Hillel says, O Erva, O Shar Davar. Rikiva says, even neither an Erva nor Davar, any other thing is sufficient. And again, he explains the Deha Matzah. So again, this will get into the issue of whether Rabbi Akiva agrees to Beis Hillel's reading of Ervas Davar. Right? So this will be another place where we can probe the connection between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. Rashi says, Deha Matzava, Mipnei Shematzava, right? Deha, because Mipnei, Halav Hachi Lo Yigarshena, Ubeis Hillel Nami Hachi Mashmeluhu, Lashon Mipnei. Mipnei shematzaba o erva o davar. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree ki matzava ervas davar means because. And at the end of the day, it's mainly the ervas davar. It's not the timsachin be'enav. V'im lav le'igarshen he'lkach lo timsachin deka amar kra ha'inu mipnei shematzaba k'me farish be'ev lo mishum chen shal noy. The chen is irrelevant. V'rebe kiva mefarish le'lahai ki b'lashon im Hilkach, trei milen inu, there's two different things. Im lo simtzachein shel noy ve'ena, ve'im matzava ervas davar. So Rashi sort of leaves it open. When Rabbi Akiva says either chein or ervas davar, what's ervas davar, right? Is ervas davar specifically erva, or is it any davar? So that's something that we'll see is open. Tosfos get into more detail on the question of the relation between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. He writes, Beishamei savri ki matzava ervas davar, deha matzava ervas davar. So he says, Isfarim degarsi, Beis Hillel ubeishamei, both agree on that interpretation. The Omer Ri, the Rabbi Akiva Savar, ki Beis Shammai, the Ri says, no, Rabbi Akiva actually agrees with Beis Shammai in this, the Amri, Ervas Davar, Chada Milsa. Rabbi Akiva actually agrees that Ervas Davar means one thing. It means Erva, not Erva or Davar, it just means Erva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you have Matzacheres Naimena, Lo Simtzachem Be'enav, on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have Erva, but Davar drops out. So on this view, Rabbi Akiva totally disagrees with Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, Erva or Davar. Everyone agrees that Erva counts, right? All three shittos agree about that. But Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel have a complete disagreement over whether the other factor is Davar or whether the other factor is Lo Simtzachem Be'enav, an absolute machlokas. They don't agree at all. That's Shitas Ri. and he has a whole raya. What would you need to say? Hikticha tavshilo, fine. But and that fits well with the girsa. And the other shita of Rav Rav Elchanan Mefaresh, the Rekiva Asi Shapki Beis Hillel. No, Rekiva is building off of Beis Hillel. So either losim tachem be'inav or erva or davar, three options. De'i lav de'aiser le davar lehikticha tavshilo lo havadarish ki matza ba. Fine, if you wouldn't have that extra drush, you would have read the psukim slightly differently. The point is, at the end of the day, on this shita, this second shita in Tosfos, Rav Elchanan, Rabbi Akiva seems to clearly be an extension of Beis Hillel. It's not a machlokes, they're not really disagreeing. I mean, the question is how far to take it. Rabbi Akiva takes it a bit further than Beis Hillel, but the two shitos are somewhat closer together. The Pnei Yoshua here is going to emphasize a slightly different factor in this connection. Right, so again, he's building off of Tosfos, Omeri, Rekiva Savar Kebeis Shammai, and he says, Lule Devrehem, Hayanir Ali, to the Rabbi Akiva Nami Itzrich Kra, Leikdicha Tavshilo. Rekiva would have needed a pasuk anyways for Ikdicha Tavshilo. Why? It wouldn't have been automatic. Denehida Filu Lo Matzachin Be'enav, Machma Shehi Keura, Marbinan Deshari, Mivahayim Lo Simzachin, Sagda Etechamina, Davka Bekiai Gavna Shari, Mikavan Shehi Keura, who sona legamre imkain libo onso the adarabe and lo yarshena havli kibne snua masha enki mikdicha tavshilo the efshar the rasachala the fisha levasar achim efaisla sala chamina shein legarsha kamashmol and dafilo achishar. Basically, the question here is there a kal vachomer? Is there like an absolute hierarchy among the three shitos? Right, erva is the worst. Definitely erva you can divorce. Maybe davar is enough. That's like half as bad. And then losim tzachem einav is the least bad. And then that's why only Rabbi Akiva says it. That's one way of understanding it. The Pnei Yoshua is rejecting that idea. Right? If you say like that, then Rabbi Akiva has a kal v'chomer. If you have losim tzachem ve'enav, you don't need davar because you have it in kal v'chomer. The Pnei Yoshua says there is no kal v'chomer because sometimes davar is actually not as bad as losim tzachem ve'enav. Why? Because losim tzachem ve'enav, this is the idea of b'nei snua. You have a matir of snua. That's a matir, maybe, along with erva. But maybe davar's not a matir. Maybe you can get over yourself, right? She burnt the food last week. Okay, so get over it, or maybe you can cook the food, or whatever it is. That's not that doesn't fundamentally undermine the marriage the way that that lo simtzachem be'enav does. So again, here we see that simtzachem be'enav is a machayev, but not in itself. I mean, it's he formulates it as b'nei snua. It's the sinna aspect where that's the trigger. So for that reason. You need you can't just make a kal v'chomer and say that if you allow a get because of losim tzachem ve'enav, you automatically allow it because of davar, because that's not true. Sometimes davar is can be overcome and losim tzachem cannot. And obviously this would also indicate that Rabbi Akiva is basically a totally separate shita than Beis Hillel. Right? Sometimes you might say davar and not davar without. Losim tzachem, you might say losim tzachem without davar. They're totally separable factors. Fine. Let's jump ahead now to Makor 23, the Malbim and his parish on Chumash, who jumps in on this. Please, yes.
Even Bnei Yeshua doesn't suggest that Mikiva doesn't agree with Beis Hillel. He separates the factors, but he thinks Rabbi Akiva has all three.
Yeah, in Achinami. Sorry, I should have been clear. Right, so they're conceptually distinct factors. At the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva happens to agree on two of them with Beis Hillel, but the third one is a separate. It's not like a system more. It's a totally different matir. Rabbi Akiva has three matirs. Beis Hillel has two, and Beis Shammai has one. But it's a separate. I mean, it builds on it, but it's a totally separate sheet. That's not like okay, he takes it a bit further as we saw in some of the other mefarshim. But yeah, thank you for the clarification. So the Malbim is going to give another hesber for Rabbi Akiva. So far, we've seen a few hesberim for Rabbi Akiva, just to quickly round up some of them. So either Rabbi Akiva is absolute no-fault divorce, for whatever reason you want, do whatever you want, no issue. That's one option. Another option is that there's something inherent about matzachin be'enav, that's somehow definitional to marriage, or at least that sinna is definitionally detrimental to marriage. We had the possibility that Rabbi Akiva doesn't really hold of his own shita at all. Rabbi Akiva actually requires that one make a mistake, that one do something wrong. For example, lo sitko v'lo sivkos, right? She doesn't use makeup. That's the cause and reason for divorce. And again, Rabbi Akiva may basically fold into Beis Hillel, that you need davar. And we also saw, and so far in this question, of whether, right, and a slight modification of the lo simtzachem be'enav, we saw it might mean not that it's a cause for divorce, but almost it indicates that the marriage is dead, or sort of there's nothing lost in divorcing because it's a lo simtzachem be'en of marriage. Now the Malbim will give a different angle, a different perspective on Rabbi Akiva's shita that might fit with the most extreme no cause divorce, right? You can divorce for whatever reason, whenever, or the husband can divorce for whatever reason, whenever he wants. So the Malbim will try to explain why that's a good system. Right, and he throws in both Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel. Why is there such a low threshold for divorce, the way he's understanding it? Just you find some other woman, or she burns the food. Why is there such a low threshold? The principle is, the greater your taboo against divorce, the less happy your marriages are going to be. Right? This is just the way systems work. So if it's very easy to exit a marriage, at least for the husband, that means that marriages that persist presumably are very successful marriages, have a higher rate of satisfaction. Right, if you're stuck in a marriage you can't get out of, everyone would have a horrible life. Presumably, once you have the option, there's like a little reverse psychology here. If you have the option of divorcing, probably you'll stay in the marriage as long as it's going relatively well. Right? The grass isn't necessarily greener on the other side. And then you have you won't get divorced because of this psychological insight, and your marriage will be happier because of the other insight you made. So that's the logic. And again, this seems to point in the direction to really give basis to the shita that there's really total permission to divorce for any circumstance, any reason, even extremely minor things, right? He's not building up timsachin be'enav here or hikticha tafshila. He's saying really it's any reason. The point is you have absolute, the husband has absolute heter legarish, and he'll actually end up using that less and be happier. So interesting psychological insight that points to some of the factors here. Let's switch gears and think now about Shitas Beis Shammai, not Shitas Rabbi Akiva and its relationship to Beis Hillel, but Shitas Beis Shammai. So we see both in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli an extension or potential extension of Rabbi Akiva of Beis Shammai Shita as to what counts as erva. So source 24 here, Vatani Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Li Ela Hayotzei Mishum Erva Bilvad. I'd only know about erva that you can divorce. Uminayin Hayotzei V'Rosha Paruatz Tadei Afrumim Zeroseh Chalutzos. How do I know? Again, this is a different set of tznius factors. Talmud Lomar ki matzah ba ervas davar. So the Yerushalmi clearly says ervas davar teaches not only like znus mamish, but these tznius issues that counts as ervas davar as well. So it sounds like again the Bavli sounded like it, the difference between husband number one and husband number two. It sounded like it was some broader point that objectively it's not good to be married to this woman. Whereas the Yerushalmi seems to treat it as an extension of ervas davar. The drasha comes from not just erva, but ervas davar. It sounds like an expanded erva. And then they solve the stira, right? What's Beis Shammai's shita? Just full znus, or even this expanded ervas davar? Mamakami Beis Shammai, shlo tomar yotz mishum erva, asu mishum davar acher, muteres. Fine, but essentially they don't disagree with this price, so they just solve the stira. But at the end of the day, it sounds like this is an expanded version of Beis Shammai's erva shita. So it's not on this shita. It's certainly not that you only have gerushin if it's usur to be with the wife. No, there are other cases where the wife sort of disqualifies herself because of tznias or other issue those sorts of issues, and therefore you should divorce her. And it's also not clear here, is that a full chiyuv? So can Beis Shammai, based on the Yerushalmi's explanation, can Beis Shammai still say that there's no such thing as reshus legabe gerushin? That either it's a chov legaresh, whether because of znus or because of tznias, or it's a full iser legaresh, and there's no middle ground? Or do you say maybe in some of these broader expanded ervas davar cases it's a little fuzzy, right? It's not a chiyuv. Maybe it depends on his interpretation of it, or maybe there's some room for reshus. Maybe it's you should divorce her, but you don't have a chiyuv. It's not exactly clear from the Yerushalmi, very limited text here. It doesn't go into detail. But we'll see the Mefarshim get into this a little bit. The Beis HaMechir, the Meiri, on the Bavli, his interpretation of the Pritzos scenarios is somewhat different than what we see in the Yerushalmi. So he says, Ava Bisha Gerishin Meruchakim Vinim Asim, B'makom She'en Sham Siba, as we see, Ki Saneh Shalach, that was the previous paragraph in the Meiri. Generally, we don't like divorce if there's no reason for it. Kol She'ro Be'ishto Tachsise Pritzos Shem Sarsure Zima, Mitzvah Lav L'Garsha. So that very flowery language about the horrors of Pritzos that I won't be able to translate well. The point is, if a husband sees the wife is entering a life of Pritzos, that's a reason to divorce as well. He says Mitzvah Lav L'Garsha. He doesn't say Chova, he says Mitzvah. Is that the same thing? Not fully clear. But it sounds like, and he goes into the Mashal, based on this Meiri, and I think you can understand the Meiri a bit better in light of the Rambam, and the Torah quotes it as well, we'll see in a bit, Garish Leitz V'yetzei Madon. The Rambam brings down the reason to be Megarish, a woman in these cases, not based on Ervas Davar, and not even based on husband number one is different than husband number two. He has this idea, this pasuk of Garish Leitz V'yetzei Madon, which basically means, it comes from a different Gemara that talks about a woman who has improper deos, and that you're supposed to divorce her. So according to the Rambam, it seems this is like a Hilchos Deos din. It's about a woman without the right virtues, and the Perish Mishnah, so the Rambam also, with incompatible virtues to her husband, and therefore he should divorce her. It sounds like that's a very different din than the Ervas Davar, but arguably Beis Shammai holds to this as well. It's not fully clear from the Rambam whether he would say this is held by Beis Shammai, but it seems to come out of the Gemara that Beis Shammai has this expanded... It's not really an expanded erva. It's a totally different matir legarish mishum pritzus. And it sounds like it's a separate thing. It's really just if you have the wrong deos or if you have the wrong actions in terms of pritzus, that's another reason to divorce. And that's really totally separate, a different matir than Beis Shammai shita of ervas davar. So that may be the Rambam's and Beis Bechira's shita there. On the other hand, on the opposite extreme, this daf ala daf brings down the Chidushei Harim. Interesting question as follows: according to Beis Shammai, deloy garish ishto rak be'ervas davar im kain amai tiknu chachamim liisha ksuba. What do you need a ksuba for? The whole idea of a ksuba is lo tekal be'en of lotzia, right, to disincentivize divorce. But if divorce is never an option, yimanav shachim ain by ervas davar lo yigarshena v'meish be'ervas davar tekal be'kal be'en of lotzia. Either there's a chiyuv to divorce because of real ervas davar. Or there's that you shouldn't divorce. So why would you ever need a ksuba to disincentivize it? And the answer is apparently brought down by Chassam Sofer elsewhere. Oh, sorry, in Gittin. So I guess I didn't see it when I went through it. Umochiach mizeh beis shamai sfirlu tiksuba hi d'oraisa. Okay, the question had a faulty assumption. Beis shamai hold ksuba is d'oraisa, but in Achinami there's no reason to disincentivize divorce according to Beis Shammai because there's no such thing as reshus legabe divorce. There's no matir legarish. There's only a chiyuv legarish, and there's no middle area of reshus. And you might say the pritzos case is really fully qualifies ervas davar and have a full chiyuv legarish. So that's really the opposite extreme, right? If you think about like polar opposites, the version of Beis Shammai that there's no heter at all. It's all chova legarish is the polar opposite of Rabbi Akiva's most mekil version, where there's no need for a cause at all. You can always divorce. It's all rishus. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's all rishus. Obviously, if there's nus, then there's a chov legarish. But 99% of cases is rishus. Rabbi Akiva, Beis Shammai says 100% of cases are a chova one way or the other. Either a chova to stay married or a chova to divorce.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to at least the way the Malbim's mask, but while we shleite yekal bein of leitzia, you would have the same problem with that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I didn't look into the Malbim if he ever quotes that anywhere. That's a good question. I assume he'd have to say something like, we want to have our cake and eat it too. So we want both the like psychological benefits of the husband feeling like he's free to divorce her and all the good things, happier marriage, less divorce that leads to. But at the same time, we don't want people to be able to take advantage of the system. So there should be some sort of disincentive or penalty for divorcing. Obviously those do go up against one another. Presumably he'd try to have a little bit of both, but that would be interesting to see if he talks about it anywhere. Other questions or haros? Okay, so moving on to the end of the Gemara, we've been Masbir, at least given a few possibilities in understanding Beis Shammai, And we've seen a range of views on Rabbi Akiva's Shita, including understanding Beis Hillel a little bit. So let's move now to the end of the Bavli, which upends everything, throws everything off, and says, Kan b'ziv agrishon, kan b'ziv sheni, that somehow the system totally changes between a first and second marriage. So what's that going to do to our sugya? So Rashi here, the first pshat of Im Sanei Shalach was Im Sanesa Shalach, if you hate her, you should divorce her. And he says, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva of Lo Simtzachein Be'enav, as we mentioned. And again, we said you can quibble. Is Lo Simtzachein the same as Sanei? Maybe not, but fine. And then the other pshat is Im Snuahi Lifnei Amakom Shalach. And notice Rashi's Gersa here is different than the Gersa in our Gemara. It's Im Snuahi Lifnei Amakom Shalach. If she's hated before God, then you should divorce her. Meaning, if she's she's a prutza or does other things wrong, then you should divorce her. Implication is, if not, not. And this is Kebeis Shammai. And again, given what we just saw, trying to understand Beis Shammai, this would be an alternative approach, right? It's not an expanded Ervas Davar. It's a Snua, Lifnei Amakom. Not Snua by the husband. It's Snua Lifnei Amakom. If she's violating a lot of halachos, that's reason to divorce her in that Girsa, Kebeis Shammai. But then he says, V'istigarsi, the other Girsa, which is what we have in our printed Gemaras, Sonei HaMishaleach. Divorce is bad. The person who divorces is hated. Vizusha Mati, this is what I heard, Pshat, Sonei HaMishaleach, Lifnei Amakom. The divorcer, the husband, if he divorces her, is hated. V'afilu Beis Hillel, Nehid Lo Kaifina Shlo Lohotzi, Mihu Sonei Hu. So how does this affect the sugya, according to Rashi? And Rashi is going to be probably in the minority here a little bit. How does this affect the sugya? Basically, it doesn't. Effectively, everything we said until now is true. Me'ikra din. But there's this idea that's, not as solidly halacha. It's this idea of Sonei Lifnei Amakom. You don't want to be the person who's divorcing. But technically, Beis Hillel sticks to their guns, and the Heter L'Garish is for Davar or Erva. But, if you divorce for Davar, Hashem might not be happy. Hashem might hate you. But halachly, it doesn't really change the calculus. It's like, in the Ikra Din, it's this broader idea of Sonei Lifnei Amakom. But it's not really usher to divorce her. It's just maybe not a great idea. So that's the way Rashi takes it. The Pnei Yoshua is going to summarize here the other interpretations that have a much more expansive reading of that line. So he says, he quotes the Gemara, Mishum Zivig Rishon L'Kuli Alma Sonei El Mishaleach, Mishum Achi Kasvik Sas Poskim, Delo Pligi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Ela Bezivug Sheni, Al Bezivug Rishon, Modu Beis Hillel, De'ein L'Garish, Ela Im Kain, Matza Ervas Davar. This is the stronger reading of that line, that according to the Gemara here. The Gemara here upends everything according to Beis Hillel in the case of Zivug Rishon. A first marriage, and we're going to talk about the exact details of what qualifies as that, but a first marriage, you should never divorce except for Erva, even according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is modet to Beis Shammai in a first marriage. The whole discussion of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Lamaisa at the end of the Gemara, we now know it only applies to Zivug Sheni. That's a huge chiddush. He says he doesn't love that pshat. Yosir Nira, Kamosh Kasav Aran, Denehid Beis Hillel, Afilu Vigdichadav Shilom, Mutzer Legarshim, Na Torah, Hainu She'im Beis Nishalom, Mata Kofin Oso, He says, slightly different than Rashi. He seems like a bit stronger than Rashi. But he says, according to this Gemara, here we're not kofa you to stay married for the first marriage, but in Shemayim you'll get an onesh. Right? So maybe a bit more than Sanui, you also get an onesh. And we're not saying that it's totally mutter here, we're just saying that Bezdin isn't kofa. But at the end of the day, the basic din that you can divorce is in place. According to Beis Hillel, just with ramifications in Shammai. So that's the machlokas there. Fine. And now another factor he notes, the od nira the ashkichan heter gamur the lechar chilul Beis Hillel af bezivug rishon the hainu mina erison the kradus sonei mishaleach nira the hainu davkim nisuin. The idea of zivug rishon versus zivug sheni. So Zivug Rishon is limited in multiple ways. It's not any first marriage. It's only a Zivug Rishon that has had Nisuin. That's been created. And he has the pasuk there talks about Eishes Brisecha and your Koris the Bris by making her a Kli. The point is, you don't have that special relationship of Ishto Rishona that only takes effect after Nisuin, according to the Shita. Therefore, the same Kulas about being Megarish, the wife, the same Kulas you have for Zivug Sheni, you also have for Arison, even Arison of Rishon. So that's important. We'll see a couple other expansions of that point. Fine. And so what's so special about Zivug Rishon? So presumably there's something about the special connection between the husband and wife, but what is it? So Chassam Sofer, not here but elsewhere, in the Sugyan Sota that talks about the Bashert, as we like to call it. The Gemara doesn't use the word Bashert because Chazal, for some reason, didn't know Yiddish. But he says, he quotes the Ari, that the Gemara in Sota, Zivug Rishon Machrizin Lav Ben Bas Ploni Laploni, Zivug Sheni Lafi Masav. And so there's something deep, something fundamental, and he quotes the Medrash about Adam being do partsufin and split into two, and then you recombine with your natural partner, and that's the your soulmates. All of those ideas are quoted. So there's something, that's this idea. Again, it's not a purely halachic point. It's something sanui lefnei Hashem. It's something broader, a bit less direct, but it's based on this metaphysical idea that you have some special connection to your first wife, but not to your second wife. So we're more willing to allow for divorce. And the so that's one shot. And we just jump ahead for a second. Source number 32, the Rei Kanadi on his Perish on the Torah says similarly, V'atam be'ishto rishona gihi bazugo v'hinehu kinargan mafrid aluf. Right, you're breaking something that's meant to be together, as opposed to breaking second marriages, which are more less deeply connected in metaphysical terms. So that's the hesber for, that's at least one hesber for the difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. The Chassam Sofer gives another line of pshat. We saw the Rashi and the Ran, which is similar. We saw the alternate view that several Chachmei Sfard have that we saw in the Pnei Yoshua. The Chassam Sofer gives another pshat, another angle here, which is, so he says, Kiikach ish isho, v'al mashma Zivug Rishon, sarich ervas davar, aval bezivug sheni, ksiv, rak usnea ha'ish acharon, blishim ta'am. And he reads this into the Pasuk. The Gemara doesn't say this. This is his chiddush about the difference between Zivug Rishon and Sheni. That, remember, we have very few psukim that we're dealing with, but they're very rich. So we have two different divorces. We have two different divorces in our psukim, right? The first husband and the second husband. The first husband is a whole complicated thing. The second husband just says, Usnei Yisha Acharon. So according to the Chassam Sofer, this chiddush between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni ties in to the idea that the pasuk says only usnei isha acharon, all you need is sinna bilishim ta'am, no reason beyond that, right? Sinna, you can have capricious hatred. It's not like a deep seated hatred. It sounds like you can just decide you hate her and divorce her, really at will divorce for the second marriage. So that's because he's essentially saying the whole sugya is only zivug rishon, not zivug sheni, right? So you end up with kulas on zivug sheni. Whereas what we saw, according to the Pnei Yeshua from the Chachmei Sfarad, is that the whole discussion is only about Zivug Sheni, and therefore you have Chumras in Zivug Rishon, right? So this is like the flip side of that. He quotes the Marash Dam, about Arusa that we saw already, and then jumping to the next bold piece, he says, V'chasni ha-rabani ha-muflag, Rav David Tzvi, Amr le'aposin le'esham ve'esilo pligi rak v'zivug Sheni, imkein al-karchach o-erva o-davar mayri v'zivug Sheni. Right, if you say that the whole machlokes is only about Zivug Sheni, that's where Beis Hillel would say O Erva O Davar. But for Zivug Rishon, he would say only Erva, as we saw in the Pnei Yoshua. Fine, and then there's some trickiness of how you read this into the Psukim. We'll leave that on the side. And the Rashash, about halfway through in bold, he adds another qualification here. What exactly counts as Zivug Rishon versus Sheni? They're really, the Hadikar Rashas, the Kaman, Zug Sheni, Kola Shneinyan, and Bain Etzla, who Zug Sheni, Afshadayin Hibisula, Ubain Etzla, who Zug Sheni, Afshadayin Bachur. Zug Rishon, Eno Kiim, Bachur, and Bisula. So if either of them, it's not their first marriage, that affects it. And again, if you take the Bashert approach, that might be relevant, although that probably would depend on your metaphysics of Bashert, right? You might say that every man has a Bashert or something like that, and then you'd be Michalik. But presumably it ties into your the Bashert that either one is enough. Or at least you can tie this into the like Sheva Brachos in terms of how many days of Sheva Brachos there are and how much the degree of Simcha for a second marriage. Maybe it ties into that at some level as well. Notice he also mentions the idea of Besula. So it's not just that it's the first marriage, but maybe she has to be a Besula, which may be another factor. Again, also may tie into Sheva Brachos issues. Fine. And right, and the Ale Tamar, and this, right, this will be similar to one point we saw before. He adds that he says near Levayer Al Pisha Amar Bisota, Achein Isha Al Baila. Right, we saw this already. Right, the idea that the Chein that you need to have Chein that's sort of definitional to the marriage. Again, you might explain that this is somehow a factor here as well. Maybe somehow there's like never Chein in the second marriage. You know, you might take some sort of view like that, and such that you have, you know, you can divorce in any case because the chain is a non-factor or something like that. Fine. Fine. So that's that. And right, and the Chassam Sofer in source 34. He sort of says it's not just about lacking chayin or you know not liking her. There has to be some cause behind it. So the second bolded or the last bolded piece in source 34, Shlomi Shem Davar Muat Shel Hakdachas Tavshil Tisgaresh V'Gam Lo Mishum Minias Chayin Lechud Kiri Kiva Lo Tisgaresh Ela Shlo Timsa Chayin Al Yedei Shum Svara Afilu Davar Muat Ki Hakdachas Tavshil V'Al Yedeisin Is Ora Sina An Shlo Matza Chayin Besof. So this is he quoting the Maharid here. That lo simta chayin is you know that would include that would need you need to have some cause. It's not just chayin, but it would be some cause. This probably should have been included earlier. But in any event, right? And the first half of the piece is about the Rambam, which we mentioned before. Milashon Perish Mishnah la Rambam Mashma that she'emi dosev etiva doma l'shal baal. That's from the Perish Mishnayos, and that's a v'hu ikdicha tavshilo shal baal. So this is a very creative reading of the Rambam on the Mishnah. That hakdachas hikdicha tavshilo doesn't mean that she literally burned the food. It means that you know the marriage is every marriage is a dish, and if you have the wrong balance of ingredients, you'll ruin the dish, and something like that. And that's why there's a problem according to the Rambam. It's not. I mean, this doesn't seem like pshat in the Rambam, but it might be pshat in Rabbi Akiva. I don't know. That the idea that it's not about the food itself, and not just any davar. It needs to be somehow that you mess up the virtues of the two parties in the marriage aren't aligned properly. She doesn't have the right midos and the right teva. Again, so these are more general points that I think speak to Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva Shitos in general. Fine. And right, in the Rambam Perish Mishnayos, he has this line, and again, this is a slightly different translation than what the Chassam Sofer had, I think, that v'hi mas'ima l'deosav. Right? Lo yugarish hazu ba'od shelo chata shum chet. She didn't do an avera. You can't divorce her. And v'hi mas'ima l'deosav. She has to be compatible with him in terms of virtues or beliefs, however you understand deos. Ayin sham hachos deos in the Rambam. So that's an interesting view. And again, this Rambam is not really, you know, you can. It's really a whole different mahalach, right? It's about her. You can say it's about her being sort of disqualified just for avera or for having wrong deos, or you could say it's really about compatibility, which would be a wholly new approach. That right again, he if she's not mas'ima l'deosav, if she's not compatible with his beliefs, actions, whatever exactly the deos are, that's a reason to divorce as well. Yeah, and it sounds like he's saying that within Beis Hillel. So that's not quite a davar. It's hard to say that's a davar. She did something wrong by, you know, having a different approach to life. Again, it depends exactly what this means, but that might be a different approach entirely. Fine. Let's look at a couple of general points in our sugya that touch on everything. And maybe the most important question, which is this a real isser or not? We've been working under the approach that right, you don't have a heter to divorce unless you qualify for whatever shita, lo simtzachim be'enav, ervas, davar, whatever exactly your shita is. Without that, there's a real isser. But the Maharmash, is that the Maharmash quoted in the Chassam Sofer here, and quoted elsewhere also, quoting the, he's medayik in the Shuvas Lavush, but he reads like this, medayik milashon ha-mishnah, lo yagaresh, v'lo tnan, asur lagaresh, pashut diyuk. This whole time you've been saying lo yagaresh. So lo can be just you shouldn't, better not to. It's not necessarily an isser. Elon kain mashma eitza tova ba'almahi. It's advice. Right? The Mishnah is telling you advice. When's it better to divorce or not? And we can derive life advice from the Torah. But there's no isser here. V'imratza megaresh kirtzono. Right? So according to this reading, you know, Beis Shammai fundamentally agrees to Rabbi Akiva. Right? Everyone agrees. There's no isser at all. And it's just, it's a question about eitza tova. And but really, this would right, this is the most permissive shita that we had, the most permissive version of Rabbi Akiva that we said before, that there's really no fault divorce, no cause, just divorce at will. Everyone would agree about that, and the question would just be Eitzah Tova, some secondary issue that doesn't really speak to din. The concept should tzarech hakira minali shiyo ilu gerishin blikas v'chalukas levavos. Fine, and the Mishnah Lamelech in source 38 is very unhappy with this shita. He brings in a bunch of makoros, the Yerushalmi, which seems to say there's an isser, and several Rishonim that say it's an isser. The Rashba says, why don't you say a bracha on gerushin? Because the answer is sometimes gerushin is usser, and it works, but it's the isser. But what's the isser? If it's just Eitzah Tova, there's no isser. So the Rashba holds. He has several Rishonim and the Yerushalmi seem to say that there is an isser, but we're not going to read this inside. The Mishnah Lamelech at the end of his piece says, well, I think it's derabanan. Ivra d'lechora hayamakom lomar d'lo asira elmi derabanan. Maybe the whole thing's derabanan. So what about the pesukim? It's in the smachta, whatever. At the end of the day, it's only derabanan. This whole issue. And again, then you'd have just machlokes what the derabanan is. But everyone would agree. Midaraisa, you can divorce whenever you want for whatever reason. Fine. And one more general point that's important. Source number 38, the Pnei Yoshua, the last line. We're not going to get into all the details here. Yosef Nir, Delo Pligi B'Sham V'Yisilal, Elo L'Inyan L'Garsha Bal Karcha, Abel Midaita, Efshur D'Bekol Inyan Shari, K'Yis V'Shulchan Aruch, in our Sugya, Shulchan Aruch comes up in the Mefarshim, brought down here, but the idea that that it's only if it's Bal Karcha. The question here is not, when is it mutter to dissolve the marriage? The question is, when is it mutter to dissolve the marriage against the wife's will? Meaning it's about being fair to her, rather than about some absolute value of marriage not being ended. So it's not really a matir, from that perspective, it's not really a matir ligarish at some level. It's really being fair to her. It's really about equity. It's a ben adam l'chavero mitzvah more. So again, that's another way of weakening this whole sugya. Right, again, everything we said until now, we had a whole nice framework, three shitos, different understandings of the three shitos, everything worked nicely, and then you can try to take the whole system down, right? You can say that's only Zivug Rishon, or it's only about Zivug Sheni, not Zivug Rishon. You can complicate that one direction or the other, or you can say the whole thing is not really an Isser at all, it's just an Eitzah Tova, or you can say it's an Isser Rabbanan, or you can say it's more about her zchus, right? It's about her rights that he would be infringing on, rather than actually something wrong, klape Shmaya, which is what at least one way of understanding that. You could probably understand this last point differently, that if they both want the divorce, maybe that you know, then Hashem is modeh, then there's sort of no value of marriage, but otherwise there is. You could explain it in different ways, but this might be another way of sort of weakening or undermining the whole system that we've built up. Just a couple of quick details about what Ishta Rishona is, the Taz on our Sugya, source 39 here. Ena perish lacha b'rishona ela osa shemigudelas imcha. Which perish Rashi sof kitten, right? Rashi brings it down that it's not just a first marriage, but someone you really grew up with. It's your high school sweetheart or whatever, or back in their days, your middle school sweetheart probably. So that's what it is. It's not, if you happen to meet someone at age 20 and get married, that's not the same thing as having known them your whole life. Okay. And so now one interesting nafgamina to all these issues. Where you might say, okay, like bizmanazeh, we generally it works b'dieved. The bezin's not going to be kofa anyone to do anything nowadays. We'll see why in a couple minutes. So why does this matter? Is there any nafgamina here in any of these sugyas at all, or does it really just not matter at all? Lemaisa, and it's just good for Eitzah Tova, if you're a rav and you get asked your bezin. Right, you give eitzah to the couple whether they should get divorced or not. But is there any real halachic significance in a practical sense? So the Yad Shlomo has an interesting nafkuna. Hinei l'nias daiti yesh b'zeh davar chadash d'madei amrinan de'avad avad zevim megarish be'atzmo. The fact that it works b'dieved is if you do it yourself. Avol b'megarish le'dei shliach lo dekem the be'emes eno rashay legarish rak de'avad avad imkein b'shliach amrinan de'en shlichot d'var avero batzal shlichot. So if you think there's a real isser here to whatever exactly the shita is, it's a real isser to do a get, to give a get that doesn't qualify, you don't have the matir of gerushin, then shlichus wouldn't work, as Rabbi Willig's chabura last time about shlichus d'var avera. You need to make sure that there's a heter to legarish for shlichus to work. So there's a potential nafkamina lemaisa.
What's
the Yad Shlomo? Yad Shlomo, source number 40. Who is he?
Yeah.
I didn't check on Bar Ilan who he was. I just went through the Mefarshim on the Rambam. This sounds like this was an interesting, useful nafkamina, but I didn't do the I didn't do the research. I apologize. I can get back to you. Poskim, so some poskim, if you look in the Rif doesn't really say much. He sort of quotes the Mishnah. He quotes some of the key lines in the Gemara. It's not clear how he poskins. Presumably he poskins like Beis Hillel, both because he's Beis Hillel and because the line from Rava that lo matzah v'lo davar v'lo erva mahu, that implies that those are the factors, which is Beis Hillel Shita. But not too much more to say there. In the Kitzer, the main piece of the Rush also doesn't have too much, but in the Kitzer, Piskei HaRush, he says the following, source 42, now, lo matzah b'dvar erva, ela shepasha kenegdo b'dvarim acherim, b'zug rishon, lo yigarish, b'zug sheni yigarish, afilu lo pasha kenegdo b'shum davar, v'avar v'girsha in kovna salach zira, k'dei lisa acheras na'imena, lo yigarish klal. So here's this interesting point. He says for zivug sheni, you don't need, it's really any cause or anything she does, you can divorce, but not just Nahimena. So, I mean, this may just be him saying that's Beis Hillel, right? Beis Hillel, at the end of the day, fits, is the Shita here. But he has this important chiluk that she's not Poshea Kenegdo, but not Lisa Acheres Nahimena. So it's not exactly clear what this is. It's like an objection to Matzah Acheres Nahimena, but... But yet, it's not clear. It sounds like davar is not necessary, right? Afilu lo pasha connected with shem davar, and yet matzahar's naimena is not a good reason. So maybe it's just an objection to this matzahar's naimena in itself, or maybe under this case of zivug sheni, or maybe it's maybe he would say that you do need davar at some level. You need like not a full, not a pshia b'davar, but maybe you need a reason, a good reason. And Malcheres Naimen is not a good reason. So this seems to come, again, this is from the Rush, is important. I didn't see it brought down the Psak, but this might change how we look at it. And it seems to be a funny middle shita between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. I can't quite pinpoint it based on this, but that's interesting to look at. The Rambam is very unusual here because he diverges in a few ways from the Gemara. So, that came up in the middle of our sugya, and it's in Kufyud Tes. Then he says, Adam Ishto Rishona, Elem Kain Matzaba Ervas Davar. So first of all, the formulation, it's not really, he doesn't say Asri, he says, Lo Yigarish, you shouldn't, so not fully clear, shouldn't divorce a first wife unless there's Ervas Davar. Shenamar Ki Matzaba Ervas Davar. The Rambam doesn't explain what Ervas Davar is. There's a whole sugya, our whole sugya is, what's Ervas Davar? Beisham Beis Hillel. The Rambam doesn't do us the favor of explaining it. The Ein Roi Lo the Maher the Shaleach Ishto Rishona. Also, you shouldn't hurry to divorce your first wife. But the second one, if you don't like her, that's reason to divorce. But that's not a sufficient reason for the first wife. So what's odd is it sounds like there's a few things. Number one, he doesn't explain what Ervas Davar is. Also, he doesn't explain what exact differences are between. He has two different things that seem to be special to Ishto Rishona. Number one, the standard of Ervas Davar, and number two, Lo Yemaher. We had understood that to be machlokas, like Rashi. Was like the lo yamaher type, right? It's like it's not a real din. It's like a second order issue. Whereas the other shitos that say there's a real difference between ervas davar as required in some cases and other standards in other cases, right? There's a difference between zivug rishon and zivug sheni, but ikra din. That sounds like that's the other line in the Rambam. So is he saying both chilukim? That doesn't really make sense. So it's not exactly clear, and you can sort of different refreshers pull the Rambam in different ways. We're not going to go into all the details of that, but it's just worth knowing that the Rambam here is pretty ambiguous. And then the next halacha, Isha Rab Deosevish in a tsnua kenos Yisrael, Haksheras mitzvah lagarsha. There's a mitzvah to divorce a woman with these bad deos or pritzas. Shenemar garsh leitz v'yetzei madam, which didn't come up in our sugya, comes up in a different sugya. V'yishin eskarshim pritzas in roi la'adam kasher shisana. No other person should marry her. That comes out of our sugya, right? That the Isha Achron, that they're different. She'ein zemotzi rishon mibesos v'machnis lasoch besos. The Rambam is merging our sugya, which seems to have an extended Ervas Davar based on our psukim, and the sugya, I'm forgetting where it is now, the other sugya that talks about, Tiyavamos maybe, about which woman one should be married to and which one not, he merges them together, and it's this general, a pretty broad and general idea of Rab Deoseha in Atznua. The Rambam has a lot of thoughts about what the proper Deos are. I don't know, maybe there's a gender difference, but you know, there's a lot of ways that this could go wrong. It's much broader than the line in our Gemara, which is about Pritzis, right, about bathing in public. But what's interesting is the Rambam separates that from the previous halacha, right? He doesn't integrate it at all. It's not like the Yerushalmi where Beis Shammai has Ervas Davar as Znus, and that's expanded into Ervas Davar Pritzas. No, this is a totally separate din, has nothing to do with Ervas Davar. It's a separate halacha. It's just Isha Rabbi Deosa, That's the way the Rambam, you know, for all the things that are unclear in the Rambam, that seems pretty clear. And this is a totally different din. And then you'd have to ask, like, what about Beis Shammai? Does Beis Shammai agree to Halacha Kaf Beis, or would he say, no, really just Erev HaStavar, not this, because this really has nothing at all to do with Erev HaStavar? Not fully clear. The Rambam doesn't have to tell us what Beis Shammai said. Fine. And the Lechem Mishnah says, basically, Pashup Shah and the Rambam, which is Kedivri Beis Hillel. The Rambam passes like Beis Hillel, and that you need Davar, or Erva. And then what about Imsanei Shalach, that Hainu Kibbeis Hillel V'lo Kibbeis Akiva, Kedaprishis, the Ein Sina Elim Asalo Davar Kedaprishis. So Imsanei Shalach, you should only divorce her if there's something, and that's the same as the Lo Yamahir. So that's one way of putting together the Rambam with the Makoros. Let's see. Maybe we'll just spend a couple of minutes quickly looking at the tour Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kalim, but I'll try to keep it quick because I think we're already a bit longer than usual. Generally, the tour and Shulchan Aruch follow the Rambam, even though the tour thinks that the Rambam said something different, but he seems to have had a different girsa than the Rambam. It seems like at the end of the day, they basically agree. So let's read Makor 45. Ki kach ish isho v'alav yam v'sachim v'enav. He quotes the Pasuk. He quotes the Mishnah. Beis Hillel, fine. So Matzah ba Ervas Davar. The Darshli the Krak Kipashte. Beis Shammai says Pshat Ervas Davar. L'simtzachim be'enav. Lefi shematzah Ervas Davar. Beis Hillel Savri Afilu Gdichatav Shilo. They say Kimatzah Ervas Davar O Erva O Davar. O Davar Acher She Pasha Kenegdo. So his standard is Pasha Kenegdo. Right? Davar isn't just something that's not ideal. It needs to be something she really, you know, Pshia is a rebellion usually or something, or at least total irresponsibility, not just a minor thing. Rabbi Kiyo Savar Afilu Matzah Acher Es Na'a Himena. Fine, he says Pashup Shat and the Sugah be Pasna Beis Hillel. Shem Pasha Connect the Achlagar Shaval Lo Yigar Shenak De Likach Na Himena. And then he says Bamed Varam Murim Bezivuk Sheni. This is all talking about a second marriage. I will Bezivuk Rishon Ein Lemaher Ligarsha. The Lashon of the Rambam. The first marriage, you shouldn't hurry to divorce her. But he doesn't say that there's a different standard. So it's sort of interesting. He on the one hand he says the whole sugya is really only talking about Zivuk Sheni, but really the first half is essentially the same, just Lo Yamaher, which sounds like not a hard din. It's more of in Shemayim you'll get some Onesh or something like that, which again ends up like the Rambam and ends up in many ways like Rashi in practice, right? It's sort of merging. You don't end up with many Nafkaminas the way he's reading it. The Amar Rabbi Lazar Kolam Agarish Shtori Shonam is Bechmer Demaos, etc. Aval Matzaba Ervas Davar O Pritzos Mitzvah Garsh, and that's the next halach in the Rambam. Dichsiv Garsh Leitz Vietzei Madon. So that's, he basically says over the Rambam, and then he says the Rambam has something else that he disagrees with. Or maybe it's the line of Ein Lemaher L'Shaleach, but the redundancy, fine. So the Beis Yosef at the bottom, the Beis Yosef here brings down the Dafka Kishmagar Shabal Karcha. This whole discussion is Baal Karcha, so we bring that's brought down. It sounds like he paskins like that, so that's really important. And again, it may show that this whole din is more of a zchus of the isha rather than a real isser. That's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is, if it's not bal karcha, then somehow the objective Torah objections to divorce disappear. Fine, and at the end he says halacha kibbeis hillel. So there's not too much that the Beis Yosef diverges. A couple of other points that come up in various mefarshim here, various nosei kalim. Yes.
Why isn't the tour like the Rambam?
Why? Sorry.
The first part of the tour isn't before he gets the Rambam cuts out.
I mean, it sounds like number one, he's channeling the lashon of the Rambam as he often does. But
Zivuk Sheni, the tour says for Zivuk Sheni, you halacha kibbeis hillel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That dafka pasha connecto. There's no Ramzan in the Rambam.
Ah, so you want to say in the Rambam...
I don't know, but
I guess it depends on how you read. When the Rambam says, Lo yigarish adam ishto rishon elin ki matzah eras davar, like, is the Rambam saying, Davka ishto rishon... I hear what you're saying. We might say that the Rambam...
Agreed. Read the Rambam that way, that's the same thing, but that's...
Right. If not, right, it's more pashut to read the Rambam, I think, like we saw in the Chassam Sofer, a different shita, but that, right, that Zivuk Sheni, there's, more bets are off. But again, you have this problem in the Rambam that he says both Lo Yamaher and lo yigarish, so, which it's hard to say both.
Taka marries at all.
Right, right. Once you have lo yigarish, what does lo yigarish mean? Unless the lo yigarish is going on both.
It means lo yigarish to do, which makes you presume that there was never, like some of the questions said, right?
Right. Yeah, the process, right, the decision making side of it, right, which I didn't get into here, but yeah, that's another factor. Fine. So, let's see. I'm trying to figure out what last couple things to get in. Let's try to. I don't want to hold people too long. So let's jump the last page. Pisrei Tshuva. Pisrei Tshuva has. Right, he throws in the line of Ziva Grishon Mikri Davka Kishi Basula. So that's an important piece for defining these terms. And he also, on the line of Ein Lo Lamaher, he says Efshar Sha'af Biratzon Aisha. Right, so building on what we saw just now in the Beis Yosef. So the Chalkas Mechoke comments on that Efshar Sha'af Biratzon Aisha Sha'az Ein Isser Badavar. Maybe if the wife agrees, then there's no Isser, and then you could be Mimaher. Mikol Makom Ein Roy Lasos Kain. You still shouldn't do this. Right, better not to divorce. And he says, that's only if he's the one who's suing for divorce. He misrats, even though she agrees, maybe she's not fully willing. Maybe she's just, you know, very agreeable. But if she's the one who's tovas, then it's definitely heter gamur. So again, this sounds like it's a bit more about protecting the schus, the schuyos of the isha. This din within that line, although not 100% pashut. And let's close with the Aruch HaShulchan, who will the first half of the Aruch HaShulchan here, which will have important practical ramifications for this din. So he quotes Malachi Ki Saneh Shalach Saneh Mishlech Lethei Amakom Zivagrishon Zivagasheni Rabbi Lazar Kol Megarish Ishto Rishon Afil Mizbeach Mor Lev Dmaos. And he says, "Davka kishemagarsha ba'al karcha kishgirsha miratzona leislan ba." As we saw from the Beis Yosef, ulefize, because the isra is only if it's ba'al karcha. Ledidan sheyesh cher derenu gershom al get ba'al karcha. You can never give a get against her will. Every get is birtzona ba'al karcha leislai dina. This din doesn't apply. Now, again, what we saw just now in the Pisk Echuba, according to Chazal Mechokik, it actually may be more complicated than that, right? If he's the one suing for divorce, so maybe she's. It's not against her will, but maybe she's not nisratza, not so pashut. But the way the Aruch HaShulchan says it, cheret beinu gershom, get is never bal karcha. Bal karcha, if it's not bal karcha, there's no issue here, and this whole sugya is moot. Of course, there'll be some cases where it comes up, and the Eitz HaTova aspects are certainly relevant, but I don't think you're going to see too many bat din dealing with these issues, and Klal Yisrael should benefit from the insights of the Malbim and have many happy and many happy by choice marriages in our midst.